All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we have our second and final guest for the program this week. We're very happy to have we're having a live interview with Andrea Whitcomb, who is the president of the Collingwood Community Gardens Association. And Andrea has been part of the ongoing fight to save the Collingwood Community Gardens. And in fact, some of our listeners are probably quite familiar that the state Labor government is basically attempting to bulldoze the Collingwood Community Gardens, which has caused the furore of a lot of residents, by which Andrea is part of that kind of resistance. So, yeah, good morning, Andrea. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
I forgot to there was just an issue there. That's all good. I can hear you now. So, Andrea, I guess the kind of first kind of question, I've given a bit of introduction that you're part of this campaign to save the Collingwood Community Gardens. And I guess kind of want to hear, you know, your perspective on why is it this community garden so important for the residents? And, yeah, maybe kind of start off from kind of there.
Yes, okay. So really, my answer to that would be because we have built and sustained a wonderful community that really represents all that is best about the Yarra, larger community. So I guess what I would say is allotment-style gardening, because it brings together a number of people who did not know each other when they took up their plot, but essentially slow down from their everyday lives while they're gardening. It gives a kind of a space for people to actually build relationships over time, because you begin to talk with people from all different backgrounds, some who might even speak very little English, some who are very different, from a very different socioeconomic background to yours, different cultural ethnic backgrounds. And all of us embody and have within us different life experiences, different sets of knowledge about gardening. And in talking to one another, we exchange all of that. And doing that, we build relationships. It's just kind of human nature. So friendships have been built across all of these social, economic, and cultural, what might otherwise be differences. It's not that we've become the same. It's that we have an interest in that difference and we try to understand one another. So it's kind of like, you're building social inclusion, you're building social cohesion, and you're also building belonging, because there are many people who come to garden in the plots who've had difficulties in their lives, you know, mental health issues, just different, a complete range of things. And in coming there and gardening and slowing down and breathing in the fresh air, listening to the birds, looking at the blue-tongued lizards who are part of the kind of ecology that we cultivate, and then just listening to another, their health is restored. And all of that has been broken down with what the farm has done to us in the last 2 years. And all we wanted to do in mediating and trying to negotiate with the farm, and in the beginning even trying to get them to even respond to our questions, which they did not do until forced to by our first political campaign, and then only through a mediated medium through Dwelp. You know, all we wanted to do was to say, look, if you only let us manage this better, we could actually increase the social diversity and inclusion practices that we know allotment-style gardening can sustain. Allotment-style gardening around the world is known for bringing people together and building communities, building cohesion, building a sense of belonging. But they just don't want to listen because they have their own vision.
And I guess that gets into kind of the next kind of question. You've given a kind of very good kind of summary of, why this community kind of garden is important and, you know, why. And I guess I want to kind of hear about what can you tell us about the actual campaign that has kind of developed in response to save this garden and, I guess, tell me about, who has been involved and, I guess, what are the current kind of actions that are happening. From my understanding, there was a picket line kind of happening right now with residents coming, but, of course, there has been some new developments since then. So I think some of the character has possibly changed. So I want to hear from you on that.
Yes, sure. So I guess that, when we were first locked out back in May, June of last year, our first response was just incredulity and total shock, And so we started gathering with Zoom, the platform that we've all sort of found during this pandemic. And so I guess, first of all, it was just shock and expressing our feelings. And then slowly a group of us emerged that started organizing an actually more structured campaign. And so I suppose what we did, first of all, was a petition which raised over 3,000 signatures, which we then sent to the farm and to our local representatives of all parties, including the city of Yarra. We, every farm member can, and we are all farm members, can request a list of the membership of the farm, because the farm is, after all, a membership organisation, and we vote to all the members of the farm with our position. Not everybody liked that, but on the whole, the response was very positive. We got onto 3CR yourselves and other forms of media campaigning. I think the ABC, Channel 9, Channel 7 all did stories on us. That put the wind up Richard Wynne. And at that time, when the farm was not responding to our inquiries and requests to have a conversation with them, that Wynne came in and he didn't talk to us, but he requested the senior public servant for Crown Land in Dwelp to mediate a conversation. We went along. We had three people from Dwelp, three people from the farm, and three people from us. And at a certain point in that, when the other thing that we did was establish the association, and that's when sort of I began to come in more strongly as well, because I was voted in as its president. And the idea with the association was that we would be able to manage the farm if we could win the gardens as an association, which we could not do as sets of individuals because of risk management and sort of, legal stuff. So then we started negotiating with Dwelp. That was very hard for quite a with the farm via Dwelp, and Dwelp really as the Crown land manager. And the whole argument was around public benefit. How was our vision a better vision of enabling public needs and therefore public benefit for that plot of land? The gardens are 3% of the children's farm. We eventually got to a point where we were invited in December to run, to develop our own management proposal and give that to them at the end of January. First week of February, we were called to a meeting by Connor, who is the CEO of the farm, without Dwelp. And basically told, guess what, guys, we now have $165,000 from the state government. We also have a second work safety report that means we have to complete the works, make the site safe by the 15th of March. we're clearing the site next week. You need to tell us what you want out of the site, and that's it. Bye-bye. If you want to, you can be part of the consultation as to what happens next. So you can imagine our furor, because we were negotiating in good faith with the Committee of Management and DWELP, and busted our guts essentially over summer developing our own proposal for how the gardens could work. And it was never even entertained. And we were asked to do it, which I just think is an act of extreme bad faith. And then that's when we mobilized again and we thought, right, okay, we need to try and win this battle. Of course, we haven't. They are right now clearing, but we are raising people's awareness as to how much bad faith has gone on here. And, of course, you're right, we are on the war now. We might have lost this battle, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to give up our argument that allotment gardens are the best way to sustain and build the local community. And the key difference here is that the farmers actually, and they've explicitly said this in emails to us, they're not interested in the Yarra community. They're interested in the general public. So this fight is really about a version of the public as everybody and a version of the farm and the gardens in particular as actually being anchored in the Yarra community.
We're running a bit out of time now because we've got to finish our program now, but we still have there's still room for one more kind of comment from you. And I guess I want to sort of make a final kind of question. I guess, how can people support this ongoing campaign? And I guess what, looking kind of the future, how you're going to kind of, how this, where this campaign's kind of going to go in terms of kind of next kind of steps. So yeah, I want to kind of hear your response for that.
Okay. So we are maintaining vigil while the destruction of the gardens is going on. And we always have a presence there early in the morning from sort of 7 to 9. If you come around, if you're passing by, please stop, talk with us, get a leaflet explaining our position and our vision of what the place could be. We are intending to be there on the weekend as well when a majority of people come by and families with young children. Take a look at the farm and see what is happening around the gardens. The animals are disappearing. The place is becoming a market garden. Not saying the gardens are going to become market gardens, but the other parts of the farm certainly are. So have a good look at how that amenity for all of the other residents and beyond is actually changing. Write to Richard Wynne and tell him what you think about the whole development. It's only by putting pressure on the state government, and that's our local member, Richard Wynne, that we can hope to put any pressure on the Committee of Management of the farm to change tack and keep an eye on the overall farm. This isn't actually only about the gardens now. This is actually about a whole change in philosophy at our children's farm. And I'd say that's the war. That's what we're going after now, is actually making crystal clear the larger scenario behind all of this and really trying to make people aware of how much this farm has changed in the 2 years that we were unable to go to it. And remember, it's a membership-based organisation. And not only that, but, you know, they're so nasty in their tactics that they actually threw out members of the gardens from the farm. They kind of nullified their membership in order to stop them standing for the AGM. That's how nasty they became. We took them to court. Those members are all back on the farm list. That was completely illegal. They are a membership-based organisation and they are not willing to put their vision in front of an AGM and have it voted upon.
Yeah, I think that's
about democracy.
Yeah, definitely. I think this definitely I think it absolutely sounds completely kind of despicable. Unfortunately, Andrea, we've run out of time. We've got to kind of conclude this interview. I'd like to thank you very much for being on our program. And yes, I definitely want to encourage our listeners, especially since our studio is actually is quite close in close proximity to the farm and to the community garden. And yeah, I really encourage, you know, our listeners to, as Andrea kind of announced, you know, to definitely get down there and support from 7 to 9 a.m. every morning on the weekday.
Thank you so much to everyone and to you.
Thank you very much. All right, we're just speaking to Andrea.